America's top economic policymakers think the COVID economy will linger on. I'm David Brancaccio. Stock prices are headed down this morning, a mood attributed to the Federal Reserve's grim assessment of prospects for jobs and commerce in this age of COVID. Central Bank Chief Jerome Powell said COVID will cause long-term damage. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer covered the news conference yesterday. Nancy?
David, the Fed voted unanimously yesterday to keep interest rates right around zero, and the Fed issued projections showing interest rates near zero through 2022. Powell said the lower unemployment rate reported for May was a welcome surprise, but he also said it was heartbreaking to see a slightly higher Black unemployment rate wiping out the gains in Black employment we were starting to see.
And Powell was asked several times about inequality at yesterday's briefing.
Right. I asked Powell about calls from some progressive economists for the Fed to pay more attention to the Black unemployment rate and set a specific target for it. Powell said the Fed doesn't target specific groups, and that's not part of its mandate from Congress. But Powell also said the Fed will try to keep overall unemployment low.
And we will use our tools to support maximum employment and take that, you know, definition to heart. But obviously, that's something that's going to require an all of society, all of government response.
Powell also said he's concerned about the large numbers of African Americans, Latinos, and women who've lost their jobs during the pandemic. He pointed out the rise in unemployment has been especially severe for them, and he wants to get their unemployment rate back down to where it was before the coronavirus crisis.
Nancy, thank you. Stock index futures are pointing to a down day. The Dow future is down 519 points, 1.9%. The 100-share index in London is down in a similar range. Zoom cut off the account of U.S.-based China activists after they held a big video event to mark the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrators. The account was temporarily cut off about a week after the event and is back up now. Zoom says when a meeting is held internationally, it has to conform to local laws of all the participants' countries. This suggests Zoom sees a responsibility in policing the content of Zoom meetings, adding civil liberties concerns to existing questions about privacy vulnerabilities on that platform. Now to how we shelter homeless people during a pandemic and afterwards. In early April, nearly one in three people in shelters in Seattle, Boston, and San Francisco tested positive for COVID-19. Marketplace's documentary podcast, The Uncertain Hour, has an episode this week that takes us inside. The host, my colleague Chrissy Clark, is here. Hi, Chrissy.
Hey, David.
I mean, clearly a social distancing problem at big facilities for people with nowhere else to live.
Yeah. And to give you a sense of that, I want to play you a recording made by this woman that I've been talking to who lives in a big transitional housing facility in LA's Skid Row. There have been 8 confirmed COVID cases there so far. And this is a place where 600 people are living in pretty crowded quarters, plus all the support staff.
We're down to one elevator for 1,000 people. And the elevator is about 4.5 by 5. 6 adults are squishing into that space.
And then there are the communal bathrooms, the locker room style showers. There are steps that the facility has taken to minimize exposure, mask requirements, temperature checks, quarantining floors if needed. But in a setting like this, it's just hard to keep a virus contained.
Now, these types of emergency shelters and the broader category of transitional housing, they're mainstays of the way we deal with homelessness in America. Now, your podcast this season is called A History of Now. What are the roots of the system that we use?
A lot of it goes back to the early 80s, which is actually when the term homeless really came into wide use. There was this huge recession, big cuts to government safety net programs and affordable housing. Gentrification was displacing people. All of these forces came to a head, and there started to be record numbers of people, including women and children, living on the streets in a lot of cities. And the reaction of a lot of local officials was to treat this as they would any other emergency that left people without a home. They opened up buildings, churches, old armories, so lots of people could shelter in them.
And so really, it almost starts as a stopgap measure.
Right. But then that model kind of sticks. So when Congress passed the McKinney Act in 1987, the first federal law to directly address homelessness, it really focused on funding these interim congregate spaces, emergency shelters, transitional housing. But while these things have helped many people, there have been these problems. And research has shown that what's a much simpler idea seems to work better and maybe be cheaper. And that's just help people get stable, permanent homes that they can afford. And we get a lot deeper into that part in the episode.
I'd be interested because I heard you say cheaper there. Chrissy Clark, the host of The Uncertain Hour. The new season is called The History of Now. Chrissy, thank you.
Thanks so much, David.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Commuting much? Chances are no. So you're not stopping for coffee. Well, that's a problem for Starbucks. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
Up until the crisis, breakfast had been a battleground for chains like Starbucks, McDonald's, and Wendy's. Darren Tristano is the CEO of Food Service Results. He says Starbucks' strategy has been to offer more breakfast items like sandwiches and baked goods.
In order to raise the check average and to give their customers more reasons to come in.
Tristano says the largest share of Starbucks sales happen during the morning commute. But as restaurants have adapted to the pandemic by offering more takeout and delivery, David Hinkes at Technomic says people have mostly been ordering like that for lunch and dinner.
Breakfast has really been one of the casualties of this whole pandemic.
He says the competition for breakfast dollars has all but evaporated. The new battleground is convenience.
Any restaurant chain that has had a drive-through or delivery system in place has held up better than others.
He says that's why Starbucks is investing more in pickup-only locations. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.